Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father God, we thank you for your amazing love. We thank you, Father, that you love each and every one of us, and you have a plan and a purpose that we shall fulfill. Father God, we just thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. And we thank you, Father, tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void. But Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Father God, we thank you that we'll take that word to the highways and the byways and the people who are down and out and share the amazing gospel, the amazing love of Jesus Christ to the lost and dying world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father, we thank you that today we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your might, your power, and your ability, that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for your anointing that's present tonight. That anointing that saturates us. That anointing that changes us. That anointing that heals us. That anointing that sets us free. And we thank you, Father, for that anointing. We thank you, Father, for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God's a good God. Amen. Like I said, Dad and Mom, they'll actually, we just finished camp meeting and then they're fixing to take some vacation time, so they'll be, and then they have a crusade, so they'll be gone for a few weeks. But that's okay. I was gone for a few weeks too while they were here ministering, so you'll have me for a few weeks. Tonight, I just felt led to minister on the subject of faith. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God, not just by having heard one time. Amen. In fact, one time, Brother Hagin was doing a 3-week meeting with my grandfather. And so he had been ministering on the subject of faith for all 3 weeks and touched some of the same scriptures and stuff. And so one gentleman said, "Well, Brother Hagin, when are you going to start ministering on something else?" He says, "Whenever you get it." Well, I'm here to tell you that he lives and he died at 87 years old, still preaching on faith. Amen. And I think it's important for us to hear it over and over again, even sometimes whenever we think we've got it. You know, we kind of forget about things. And you know, and today I just feel led. I know I probably taught on it before to minister from Mark chapter 10, the story about blind Bartimaeus, or I like to call him blind Bart. And in this story, we can find a lot of good lessons for us to understand about our faith and that we should have strong faith and persevering faith and things like that. Mark chapter 10, verse 46, we're going to read this from the New King James in a complete story. Then we're going to look back at the new Living Translation, and we'll kind of examine the whole thing. It says, "And now they came to Jericho," meaning Jesus and his disciples, "as he went out of Jericho with his disciples in a great number and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then he called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you.' And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' The blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." So I want to back up here and look up in the New Living Translation, starting with verse 46. It says, And then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him." All right, so here's Jesus. He's leaving Jericho. He'd been ministering in Jericho. Now he's leaving. So I want you to understand, first of all, that Jesus is not preaching at this point in time. He's walking. He's on his way out of town. And with him, he had his disciples. And a great multitude, you know, the people, I guess they're trying to see what Jesus looks like, trying to touch him, shake his hand. I don't know what they're doing. Wherever Jesus went, a great multitude followed him. Anyway, it says a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting by, beside the road. So here's, I call him Bart. You know, an interesting part about this is the King James calls him blind Bartimaeus, which is interesting because that means it's almost like his name. His name is blind Bartimaeus. Like his first name is blind, second name is Bartimaeus. You know, if you want to get healed, you probably should get rid of that name. You know, if you want to call things as though they that are not as though they are, I guess you'd call yourself seeing Bartimaeus or seeing Bart. But his name was, you know, everyone called him blind Bartimaeus. So it seemed like that he was a well-known figure. And they're there at the gate of the city where a lot of people were passing through. And it was a good place to beg. Now, you know, I'm not a beggar, never been a beggar. But, I mean, I guess if I was going to be one, that, you know, I would want to find a place where a lot of people were coming through. I know there in Tulsa, there's an little intersection where there's a number of people come through, and every day there's somebody at that corner. I mean, sometimes there's beggars, but there's also baseball teams raising money for that, cheerleaders. I mean, I guess that's a good place to get money. I don't know. You know, and you have to understand, I mean, we're talking way back then, you know, now, I mean, thank God with the, you know, the technology, people with disability actually can work jobs and do things. And, you know, back then there's nothing they could do. The only way he could feed himself, is through asking money, asking for help from others. I mean, so really basically that was his job, was to go and beg for money. That's how he's going to live. That's how he sustains his life. I mean, you know, think about that. Your existence is every day go to, you know, the gate and ask people to help you out. You know, and if they don't help you out, then I guess you don't eat. Anyway, but it says then when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Or in other words, he was saying, "Jesus, help me." Now, here's the first thing I want to point out is we don't have to wait for Jesus to come through our gate. We don't have to wait for Jesus to come walking by. I mean, he's already done it for us. He already died upon the cross. He already rose on the third day. So all we have to do is call upon his name and he'll answer us. We don't have to go looking for him. We don't have to go try to find him. Now, obviously that Bartimaeus must have known something about Jesus or he wouldn't have cried out. He must have heard testimonies of how some other folks got healed. He probably heard about, you know, the one blind man that came to Jesus and Jesus made clay. I mean, you know, he spit on the ground and made clay and put it in the guy's eyes and told him to go wash in the pool and he was healed. He probably heard about the other guy who, Jesus, I guess, I don't know if he didn't have clay or what. He just spit in the guy's eyes and told him to go wash in the pool and he was healed. So here was Bartimaeus, you know, all excited because Jesus was coming through his way. He was coming out the gate where Jesus was. There's one big problem. Bart can't see. He doesn't have anyone to help him. And there's a lot of people. Now, I tell you what, I mean, you know, if you've ever been in a dark room, how many of you have ever woke up in the middle of the night, you know, maybe you had to go to the bathroom or, you know, go get some Cheerios or whatever. Maybe you wanted to find your phone and text a gift to Ram or something because you can text anytime, 24 hours a day. But anyway, ever woke up in the night and trying to go somewhere and here you are, you know, maybe I like to sleep when it's dark and so you can't see and all of a sudden, boom, you stub your toe on the edge of the bed. Anyone ever done something like that? I mean, it's hard enough to do that. But think about having to live life like that, where you're trying to. Now, you know, if you have a lot of obstacles in your way, or, you know, people are obstacles, it would be pretty hard to get to Jesus. So he had only one thing that he could use was his voice. So Bartimaeus decided to use the only thing he had, his voice, and it said he began to cry out, meaning he wasn't quiet about it. He wasn't, hey, Jesus, I'm over here. Hey, here, help me. I'm over here. No, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Evidently, he's crying that out for a time. I'm sure there's other, the multitude and other people were probably making noise, anywhere where there's a busy area, a busy park or whatever, a lot of people are, there's usually quite a bit of noise. So Bartimaeus had to get loud. He did. And then going on, it says, when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was nearby, according to the New Living Translation, it says, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So he wasn't quiet at all. Verse 48 says, be quiet, many people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, here's something that happens. We don't think it's a really big deal, but at this point in time, he was faced with a choice. Now, Jesus might never hear him. Do you understand that? There's that possibility that his shout's not loud enough. So here's Bart, and he's shouting, Jesus, have mercy on me. And here's everybody around about him saying, Bart, be quiet. Now, I'm more than likely the people that are around about him were people who lived in that town, who lived in Jericho. More than likely, these were people who on a daily basis were Bart's supporters. Do you understand that? These are probably people, in fact, some of them probably said, Bart, if you'll be quiet right now, I'll give you $20. You're hurting my ear. It sounded like that these people, knew him. One translation says, don't bother the master. He doesn't really have time for you. Didn't say that those terms, but basically that's what it was trying to say. He doesn't have time for you. Understand that Jesus wasn't, he wasn't quote unquote working because he wasn't preaching a sermon. He was walking out of the city. He was leaving the town. So he was on his way out. And so he was faced with a choice. The choice is, and understand, because Jesus was there, there were more people around than normal. And these people, were the quote-unquote Christians of the day. Obviously, they were followers of Christ. And they seemed to be a little more loving, a little more compassionate. So these were good people to help Bart out. I mean, it's good begging season for Bart. He could have just shut up, took everybody's $20, had a landslide, took a couple days off. Bart probably hadn't had a day off in a couple of days. He could have, maybe got enough money to get a nice meal. I mean, who knows? I mean, some of these people might be compassionate. He might have gone on vacation with the money. Now, I know I'm stretching the story a little bit here. But literally, he was faced with a choice because what if Jesus didn't stop? What if Jesus didn't do anything? And here he's ticked off all the people that support him on a daily basis. After they ask him nicely to quit. But see, here's something we have to realize. When you have faith, you persevere. You're willing to do anything you can to get a hold of your answer. And I like to say, people don't realize with faith, there is no plan B. See, plan A would be receive your sight. Plan B, beg, make money. All right, but there is no plan B. Now, I know people who said, well, I'm believing God for this, but if that doesn't happen, I'm okay with that. Well, wherever your lowest plan is, that's your plan A. Because if you believe that you receive before that you have, there is no plan B. You're just stopping before plan A comes to pass. Don't stop before you get plan A. Don't settle for a plan B. See, he had a choice to settle for a plan B. And it might have been nice, to make some extra money, take a day off, not have to beg tomorrow. That would have been nice, But it's a whole lot better to get your healing. But see, what happens is, just like what could have happened to him, is, you know, the devil could be in there on their shoulder and say, well, Bart, Jesus is not going to stop. He's not going to talk to you. You know, you're in a lower class anyway, so he's going to pass right on. You're going to make everybody mad. Nobody's going to help you out anymore. I found that that's what happens. The devil comes and begins to talk on our ear and tell us it's not going to happen for you. It's not going to come to pass. He's a dream killer. Your dreams aren't going to come to pass. You're not going to get that. You know, I've actually known other people who have tried to talk people out of things. Well, you can't believe God for that. I think sometimes because they're jealous because they can't believe God for whatever reason. The Bible says what things soever for, you know, that you say with your mouth. It's whatever I say I can believe God for. Not what you say. If I can believe, I shall receive. Maybe you can't believe. I don't know where your faith is. But my faith is I can believe and I shall receive. See, it's up to me, not up to you. But a lot of times the devil will try to kill our dreams and try to tell us, well, maybe we should try, you know, try. Let's go for second best. I know you like to have a new car, but maybe a used car would be good. You know, one at least starts, you know, one every 10 times, you know. Maybe a little newer than that. You know, don't settle for second best just because someone's trying to kill your dreams. Whether it's the devil, whether it's other people. Because really, in this situation, you know, there should have been some other folks trying to get Jesus' attention and say, hey, this guy over here needs some help. Instead of pushing the guy down. And sometimes that's what we do. You know, we see someone that needs help. And instead of helping that person, we push them down. Says, you know what? You know, you'll have your time one day. You know, or whatever. But, you know, there should have been people helping him. But thank God that Bart didn't quit. Thank God he persevered. Thank God he kept going. And it didn't matter, I guess, you know, who said what. He, you know, I imagine he was going to keep shouting until he knew for sure that Jesus either stopped or he was outside the gates. And then probably if someone would have told him he's already passed outside the gates, he would have tried to find someone to take him outside the gates to follow him. Because he was going to do whatever, because understand, that was his healing passing by. Don't let your healing pass by. Don't let your dream pass by. Don't let your miracle pass by. And just let it go. But open your mouth and begin to proclaim that it's mine. I take it now. See, you don't have to find Jesus. You just have to claim it. Amen. You just have to call it out. You know, and you don't have to get loud about it, but it's okay if you want to. I mean, as long, you know, it might not be okay if you're, you know, maybe in a public place where a lot of people, like you know, you're a waiter on a job and you come to someone's table and you stand there, thank God for my new car. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, that might not be the appropriate place, you know. May I take your order, please? Of course, if I had someone like that, I would say, I want a new car, too. That's what I'll order. So, but, you know, there's an appropriate place and an appropriate time for everything. But, you know, Bart was going to be as loud as he could because he wasn't worried about anybody else. He was only concerned about two things. You know, I always say when we have healing lines, I want you to think about Jesus and your healing. And that's all he was thinking about. You know, I imagine, I mean, I'm assuming we don't know, but I'm assuming that he was blind, you know, from the day he was born, I'm assuming. I don't know. Maybe something happened. But it seemed like he'd been blind for a long time, if not from the day of birth. So, you know, he probably imagined that day that he could see. Now, you think about that. I mean, think about if he's never seen a day in his life and he's heard stories about how other blind people were blind and because Jesus came through their town, they were able to see. I mean, you're like, well, I'm as good as they are. See, Jesus is no respecter of persons. People think, well, you know, I'm not good enough. You're always good enough. It doesn't matter how bad you really are. You're still good enough. You're still worthy. God loves you. His amazing love is still there. And he wants you to receive whatever you need. I mean, you know, and pretty much, I mean, you know, you really need to see. It's really hard to operate without being able to see. So, thank God. And remember, up until this point, Jesus was moving. He was headed out of town, him and his disciples and a bunch of other people. So, verse 48 says, be quiet. Many of the people yelled at him. So, when you're yelling at someone, you're not really being really nice to somebody. They're not just saying, hey, Bart, please be quiet. Pretty please with sugar on top. They're yelling at the guy. They're probably threatening him. Now, you understand, Bart's blind. He can't see if someone's trying to hit him or something like that. So, you know, he can't really protect himself. And instead of getting quieter, it says, but he shouted louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. Or basically, he was saying, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Help me, Jesus. Verse 49 says, when Jesus heard him, he stopped. See, before this point in place, Jesus was walking. He was moving. But as soon as he heard the cry of faith, he stopped in his tracks. And he looked for him. See, and that's what he does today. Whenever he hears someone crying out in faith, Jesus stops and he's ready, willing, and able to minister to you. Amen. Now, for Bart and other people back in his day and age, I mean, that's why I'm glad I don't live in his day and age. They had to find Jesus. They had to get to him. But see, Jesus already found us. In fact, when we were yet sinners, it says he was standing at the door of our heart and he was knocking. He was looking for you. He's already has found you. And all we have to do is call upon his name. Now, if we can just say, Jesus, help us. You say, Jesus, this is what I'm going through. This is what I need help with. Here's my situation. And we know every time that he hears the cry of faith, he'll stop and he'll answer. Just like he did there on that day. In Jericho. Anyway, it says, when Jesus heard him, he stopped and he said, tell him to come here. Now, I like my version better. Jesus stopped, he stood still, and he said, Bart, come on down. Come on down. Come here. Now, I'm sure Jesus didn't watch The Price is Right, so he didn't say, come on down. That wasn't invented for many, many years later. But he knew it was going to be invented before it was, because he knows it all anyway. But he said, you know, tell him to come here. Now, you know what? Just telling someone to come somewhere didn't even, you know, he still can't come. There's a lot of people there. Now, we don't hear this, but this is Craig's interpretation of the story. It might be wrong, but it still preaches good anyway. Somebody had to grab, because it didn't say Bart had a seeing eye dog or anything. Someone next to him. Now, who was next to Bart? All those people who were shouting at him, right? All those people that were kind of pushing him down, telling him, Bart, just be quiet. He don't bother the master. He doesn't have time for you. But I guarantee you that one, because he said, you know, when Jesus said, come on down, said, bring this guy to me, one of those guys probably grabbed Bart by the hand. And led him to Jesus because, you know, I mean, Bart can't see. I mean, you know, imagine this. I mean, if no one's going to help him, he'd be sitting there like. I mean, you know, it wouldn't have worked. He didn't have a stick or anything. I mean, someone had to grab him. And I guarantee it was one of the guys that was yelling at him. Now, I know this is not in the Bible. It might not be right. I'm not a great theologian, so, you know, but. So don't go tell everybody what Craig said, you know, but. My interpretation, that's probably what happened. And more than likely, because this is the way people are, this guy probably, you know, we'll name him Steve because he needs a name. Steve probably said, you know what, Jesus, me and Bart were back there talking a few moments ago. And I said, Bart, today's your day. Today's your day. Jesus is going to stop. I know it, you know. It's because it's his chance to talk to Jesus. Anyway, but well, before that, it says, It says, Jesus said, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man and said, cheer up. Well, I don't think he was mad. He said, cheer up. They said, come on, he's calling you. Bart threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Now, I want you to notice that he threw aside his coat, and that's a really big deal, and we don't really notice that a whole lot. But back in the day and age, that where you fit in the class system, you were a garment signifying that you were wherever you were. So he was probably really low in the class system. So he wore a coat signifying he was a lowly old blind beggar. Now, when he threw aside that coat, he was doing that in faith. He was saying, I'm no longer a lowly old blind beggar, even though he still couldn't see. But he was headed to Jesus. And even though if Steve was grabbed by the hand, who knows what the guy's going to do, but you know, he was going to go see Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, there was no more jacket required anymore. He wasn't going to need that. Let's give it to some other beggar that he can have too. Now, you know, that's bring me to another point. You know, there are probably other people who were begging in that place. Probably other blind people. But we only read about one guy there that day that cried out to Jesus. I guess the other guys were making more money. Because I bet you, you know, that there were blind people there. But Jesus, he wasn't preaching, he was walking. So Jesus came down, Bart came down to Jesus. He threw aside his coat. He didn't need it anymore. You know, a lot of times, you know, maybe physically we don't have a coat we're wearing. But, you know, when they said casting away our cares or whatever, a lot of times what we do is we cast our cares away, but we pick it up and we carry it with us in case we need it later on. I might need this. He didn't pick up, he cast it away, and, you know, he didn't care who picked it up. Because at that point in time, it was no longer his. Now, you think about this. I mean, he just did that, so that was the signification of his faith. He's all excited. He gets down there, you know, in front of Jesus. And it's interesting because the first thing that Jesus said was, you know, notice it says he threw aside his coat. He jumped up and came to Jesus. So evidently he was sitting on the ground. But when people jump up, they're usually pretty excited. I mean, if you're not excited, you get up slowly. Waddle on down there. All right. So he got down there and Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Now, think about this. It was pretty obvious that Bart was blind. I think everyone could see that fact. Pretty obvious that he probably wanted to see. You know, but I always say, you know, there's a scripture there that says, you have not because you ask not. Ask what you will and it shall be done. So Jesus was asking him, what do you want? What do you want? Because you're going to get what you want, what you desire. All right. He says, my rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. So right there, he professed, this is what I want. I want to see. I want to see. Now, here's something else that we need to receive everything from the Lord, whatever we need. Now, I say this because my grandfather was in a meeting and lady came down. And you could tell she was walking really slowly. And my grandfather thought she was coming down for healing for her leg. And my grandfather said, what do you want? And the lady says, said, what do you want? She says, what do you want? Says, I need to hear. So it was amazing. God instantly healed her hearing. And so she started walking back off, you know, limping back. He says, my grandfather said, ma'am, God can heal your legs too. She goes, oh, I can get by with that. But I couldn't get by without hearing. And I know we kind of laugh about that, but you know what? There's many times that I've seen Christians, you know, maybe they believe God for a healing, but they're having a financial travesty. And they just said, I'll somehow, some way, I'll make it. I can do it on my own. And sometimes we just don't think about it. Sometimes the devil's hitting us so hard, we forget about how good our God is. Sometimes, like I said, we can't see the forest for the trees. All the things are coming, compounding upon us, and we can't even see Jesus. We can't focus on him. But understand that Jesus will take care of everything you need. Not just the one thing, but, you know, so maybe he needed more than, you know, maybe Jesus wanted to make sure all he needed was a sight. Maybe he needed more. But in this case, he wanted to see. I mean, you know, I just think about that day. Think about how excited this man was. I mean, first of all, you know, his chances of getting to Jesus. I mean, here he was. I mean, think about it. He's basically, because he can't see, he's in a dark cave. And he hears Jesus coming through town and begin to cry out. And when he did, everybody around him started yelling at him. And he cried out even more. You know, people probably kept yelling at him. And then all of a sudden, Jesus began to talk to him. And he said, come down here. I mean, think how excited he was. Even before he received his miracle. I mean, think what a day. But you know what? Sometimes we start struggling with our situation so bad, we don't think about how awesome it is that our God will take care of those situations for us. We don't focus in. Like I said, I say focus in on Jesus Christ and your healing, or Jesus Christ or whatever you need. That's what this man did. He was willing to do whatever to get to Jesus. Anyway, so it says, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go. You understand that it doesn't say that Jesus ever touched Bartimaeus. Now, I'm assuming, I don't know if, you know, if it spread. I don't, you know, and I said earlier that Bartimaeus probably had heard other blind people got healed. You know, and I know I've read my Bible, and, you know, in my Bible that Jesus always decides to spit on the ground or spit on somebody's eyes or something like that. I mean, I'd be waiting for, you know, if I was a blind guy, I'd be waiting for, you know, that anointed spit to come out. So unless Jesus was spitting while he's talking, there was no spit. Or maybe waiting for Jesus to touch his head and say, be healed, or touch his eyes and say, be healed. There was none of that. Jesus said, go your way. Or in this translation, it says go. But this is where I want you to get to. For your faith has healed you. Your faith, it's because you believed. It's because you persevered. It's because there was no plan B. It's because you were able to stand. It's because you took off that coat. It's because of you that you're healed. See, a lot of people think, well, if Jesus could do this, because he can do whatever he needs to do, but he's already done it all when he took the stripes on his back, when he died on the cross. By his stripes, you were healed. Now, this was before that time, obviously, but now we don't have to wait for Jesus to do something. It's your faith. It's your faith that heals you. Just like it was his faith that day that healed him. Now, I understand it's the power, but it's your faith that unlocks the power. Your faith unlocks the power of God. Your faith unlocks that power to effect a healing and a cure in your body. The same today as it was then. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. All you have to do is believe. So it was his faith that healed him. He didn't say it was my power that healed him. He said it was your faith. It was your faith. Jesus never touched a guy. Now, I think it's pretty interesting because even today, in today's day and age, I know one time that we were in a service with my grandfather, and we My grandfather said, well, the Lord wanted me to how many people need healing? People stood up. Said, I'm going to do a little different. So instead of laying my hands on you, the Lord instructed me to do this. I'm going to stretch my hands out toward you. You're going to stretch your hands out toward me, and I'm going to pray, and you're going to get healed. Then people come talk to me afterwards, say, hey, Craig, when is Brother Hagin going to pray for the sick? So are you sick? Are you going to bring somebody? Oh, yeah, I need healing. Said, well, so you just got through a service, right? You weren't there. Said, well, the Lord told Brother Hagin to do it this way. Well, I know, but I didn't get healed. Well, that's because, see, his faith was not really in God. It was really in a man touching him. You know, but a man doesn't have to touch you. Even this Lord Jesus didn't have to touch him. All he had to do was believe. All he had to do was believe. All things are possible to him that believes. All things means all things. It doesn't mean some things. It doesn't mean, well, you know, 9 out of 10 times it works, or 4 out of 5, or 2 out of 3, or 50% of the chance, 50% chance, like we flip a coin. No, it says all the time. If you can believe, all things are possible, all the time. If you can believe. See, can you believe, or do you believe? Do you have perseverance like this man did? Are you willing to go the extra mile to do whatever it takes? Even if it means making people mad because, you know, you didn't do what they wanted you to do. But you know what? The outcome was this man was healed. Because it says, when Jesus said, go, your faith has made you whole. It says instantly. And it is, I love instantly. I love suddenly. I love when you read those things in the Bible. Suddenly, instantly. The man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. See, now he became one of those multitude. Before, he was on the sideline begging money. But then he became one of the multitude that was following Jesus down the road. I don't know where all going, but they were all going out of the city. Because one man had perseverance. I mean, you know, think about that. You know, if you couldn't see and now you see him, I mean, think about how literally that changes your life. I mean, I understand if your arm hurts and you can barely move it, you know, and you get it healed, that's great. But you did have use of your arm. It just hurt. But when you can't see and now you do, that's life changing. That's life changing. But I'm here to tell you, whatever you need, doesn't matter if you need a miracle, doesn't matter if you need healing, doesn't matter if you need a financial blessing, God is able, but it's according to your faith, be it done unto you. As you believe, you shall receive. Amen? Let's all stand up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, for this simple little message on faith. And Father, we thank you that this message will inspire us, that whenever we're going through situations, we're going through circumstances, when we sometimes feel like we might should quit, that Father God will remember that Bartimaeus never quit, that he just got louder. He just got stronger. His faith got stronger. He kept persevering until he received the answer. And we thank you, Father, to help each and every one of us to know that we can believe and we shall receive. And our faith will build up and be strong. And we'll receive what God wants us to have. And we thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Father God, we thank you if someone's here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without making him Lord and Savior of their life. If you're here today and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I've never made him Lord of my life. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, at one time I walked with the Lord, but I turned my back. I went away. But I want to come home and rededicate my life to God today. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I'm a child of God. I'm on the road to heaven. But I've heard you guys talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in other tongues. I've never received that experience, but I want to tonight. If any of you here that never been saved or want to rededicate your life to God, or want to be filled with the Spirit of God, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across the auditorium. Hallelujah. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you, Father, right now. If anyone here that's not saved, we thank you, Father, for each and every day sins and labors across their path. And we thank you, Father, that they shall be saved. We thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing in our midst. And we thank you, Father, for blessing each and every person that's here. We thank you for it now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, before we go, is there someone here that needs healing? Anybody here that needs healing in their body? If you need healing, just come on down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. We just had a message on faith. And all you have to do is believe. Amen. So if you need healing, just come on down here. You are all life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. What I want you to do, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift your hands towards the Lord. And I want you to think about two things. Jesus Christ and your healing. Jesus Christ and your healing. Jesus Christ and your healing. And it's your faith that activates the power of God. Father God, we just thank you right now for the anointing of God, that healing power of God. And Father God, we just thank you right now as we lay hands upon these folks. We thank you, Father, that power of God shall flow into them. We thank you, Father, that healing power shall flow into them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, driving out that Satan has done. And we thank you, Father, for complete healings. And we thank you, Father, for testimonies. We thank you, Father, for it. Now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of, oh, there it is right there. That's it right there. Be healed now. In the name of Jesus, receive. Receive. Receive your healing now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Uh-oh, there, that's it right there. That's it right there. That's it right there. Receive your healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Receive. That's it right there. That's it right there. That's it right there. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In the name, oh, there it is right there. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's just rejoice with these. Father God, we just thank you right now for these fine young women. We thank you, Father, that they're healed. We thank you, Father, the healing power God is working in their body. We thank you, Father, for a complete manifestation. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. You know, I just love to minister on faith. I mean, every time it just builds my faith even greater. Amen. Hopefully it built your faith greater tonight too. Amen. Well, you know, the way we dismiss around here, I'll be back at this door. Shake your hand. If you don't want to shake my hand, you can go to that door. If you're a first-time guest, we're glad to have you. And we have a special thing for you. And so if you'll just follow our connection team, they're going to lead you out there. They have a gift for you. We're glad you came tonight. We want you to come back whenever you can. And if you're looking for a church home, we want to say welcome home. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. We'll be back here next Sunday night, 6 p.m. Amen. Come ready to receive from God. Bring somebody. Amen. Have a wonderful week. And remember, have faith in God, believe, and you shall receive. Amen. God bless you.